Smoke and musket fire fill the air at Green Bay's Heritage Hill State Historical Park. A group of Union troops advance on a hillside held by Confederate soldiers and a cannon. Similar reenactments have been held to commemorate 150 years since the outbreak of the Civil War. Crystal Thunder DeJesus and her son like the event, but the Potawatomi tribal member feels there's a chapter missing here.
I'm sure there was Indians around at the time, and so it should be shown accurately that we also helped out and fought battles throughout history. I want to see the Indian side of it.
Our blood ran with the blood of every other soldier that was out there. That doesn't seem to escape the reservation.
In a diner on the nearby Oneida Indian Reservation, Gordy McLester finishes his coffee. The tribal elder and Marine Corps veteran says up to 140 Oneida joined the Union during the Civil War. He has two ancestors who fought for the North, which he's trying to learn more about. He does know up to 60 Oneida didn't come home. When asked why Indians fought for the very government that had broken treaties and put them onto reservations, McLester says,
"You could look at it as a contradiction, but from the Indians' point of view, I'm trying to defend my homeland and my family, even though we may be not citizens at all, which was the case in the Civil War. It was more of a sense of responsibility and duty than patriotism."
At first, Indian participation was light. The Union turned away many natives because it already had lots of volunteers. But after a few bloody years and the introduction of the draft in 1863, many locals gladly handed over their $300 enlistment bonus to Indians. Oneida tribal historian Loretta Mintoxin says 1/10 of the tribe's population left to fight.
And it left the women, the young men, and the very old men to do the farming. And there were 2 smallpox epidemics in this community. So it was a very difficult time for the people who were left.
For many Native soldiers, the war allowed them to renew the warrior tradition. The Oneida Nation Museum's cultural educator, Josh Gerzetich, shows a map with the many conflicts Wisconsin Indians fought in.
Sherman's March to the Sea, November to December 1864. The 3rd Wisconsin Volunteer Infantry was involved, and there were a heavy Stockbridge Muncie concentration in that infantry.
Native soldiers also fought to prove their loyalty to the U.S. in hopes of keeping their ancestral lands, being allowed to vote, and other privileges. Russell Horton of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum says this didn't happen.
After the Civil War, you get the Allotment Act in the 1880s that took a lot of the reservations and parceled them out into individual pieces. And then you get into the 20th century and termination. The Menominees were victims of that. So their situation certainly was not improved. Best it stayed the same, and for many of them it did get worse.
Back at Heritage Hill State Historical Park, the troops make one final charge. Executive Director Charles Pelkey says they'll work in Native American accounts in future presentations.
Yes, we're looking at ways to involve Native Americans because we know that there was a big impact fighting in the war. So we're looking at working with various tribes to have that presence in years to come. Oneida Nation, Menominee Nation, so we've got some things in the works.
One popular Civil War icon in Wisconsin has a Native tie. Old Abe, a bald eagle that accompanied the 8th Wisconsin Infantry, was originally captured by Chief Big Sky of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Ojibwe. Brian Bull, Wisconsin Public Radio.